Let us then turn in God's Word to John chapter 15. As we looked a couple of weeks ago on our Ascension Day at John chapter 14, we begin reading at chapter 15, verse 26, and we'll read through actually our text, which is verses 13 through 15 of chapter 16. But I wanted some context just because, as I said in that sermon on Ascension Day, Jesus spends a lot of time, the most time anywhere in Scripture, talking about the work of the Holy Spirit here in this section of God's Word. So let us hear together God's Word, John 15, beginning reading at verse 26 and reading through chapter 16, verse 15. But when the Helper comes, whom I shall send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, he will testify of me. And you will also bear witness because you have been with me from the beginning. These things I have spoken to you that you should not be made to stumble. They will put you out of the synagogues. Yes, the time is coming when that whoever kills you will think that he offers God service. And these things they will do to you because they have not known the Father nor me. But these things I have told you, that when the time comes, you may remember that I told you of them. And these things I did not say to you at the beginning, because I was with you. But now I go away to him who sent me. And none of you asks, where are you going? But because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. And when he has come, he will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin, because they do not believe in me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father and you see me no more. Of judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. He will glorify me, for he will take of what is mine and declare it to you. All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore, I said that he will take of mine and declare it to you. Thus far, the reading of God's Word, may he add his blessing to our consideration of it this morning. Brothers and sisters in our Lord Jesus Christ, as we open God's Word this morning, have you ever stopped to consider what the Holy Spirit does for us as believers? He can easily be overlooked because it is his purpose to point us to Christ and not to himself. What benefit to us is the promise of the Holy Spirit? That is what we hope to see as we look at God's Word this morning. As we look at our passage, the theme that we want to see is the Holy Spirit comes to guide his people into the truth of Christ. And that's the theme that we want to see. The Holy Spirit comes to guide his people into the truth of Christ. And as we open God's Word this morning, we're going to see it in three ways. From verse 13, we see that he speaks the truth. In verse 14, we see that he glorifies the Son. And in verse 15, we see that he reveals all of God. So first of all, verse 13. However, when the Spirit of truth has come, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. Have you ever been in one of those Bible studies, quote and unquote, where people say to you, what does this text mean to you? Well, the question is not, what does the text mean to you? The question is, what does the text mean? What is God saying? And the Spirit of truth speaks the truth. Now, this may seem fairly straightforward. He's God. But we need to look at this very closely. You may have heard of people who claim to speak by the Holy Spirit working in them. Yet one person says one thing, another person says another thing, and these things are often contradictory. Who do you believe? Can the contradictions both be true? No. This points us to the need to know Scripture, because the Spirit of truth will not contradict Scripture. And yet everyone's modern revelation by the Holy Spirit is what's more important than what that old book says, right? Scripture is the foundation. And so the Spirit is the helper that Jesus promised. We read that in the first verse of our Scripture reading, verse 26. But when the Helper comes, whom I shall send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, He will testify of me. The Spirit is sent to us as a helper to help us, to guide us into truth. He will what? Testify of me. And we're going to get into that fact as we continue in God's Word this morning. He is sent by the Father at Christ's command. The Spirit is a helper to us. Verse 13 tells us that He will guide you into all truth. When we interpret Scripture according to the Word of God, we can have confidence because each believer has the gift of the Holy Spirit in them, so that we can understand the Bible and be able to be guided into truth. Now, as we said, we must be careful not to run off on our own with Scripture. 2 Peter 1:20 tells us, knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. So it's not, what does this Scripture mean to me? Or what does this Scripture mean to you? It is not of private interpretation. It is the Word of God. It means the same thing through all ages. What does God say? And that was, by the way, as I was studying in seminary, my dad took me aside and said, I don't want to know what you think. I want to know if you know what God thinks. And that's what we have to look for in Scripture, is what does God think? What is God saying? And so we can have confidence worked by the Holy Spirit, but we must be very careful to study the Scripture very carefully in the context of the rest of the Bible. We have to look to what the interpretation of the church has been, because if we're off in a totally different area, we're probably not accurate. Or if we're coming up with something totally new that has never been understood by the church in 2,000 years since the last pages of Scripture were written, we're probably in a bad area. But we have to be careful that we have the working Holy Spirit within us. And He guides us as individuals. He guides us as the church. Now we have these books. We study the Catechism. We study the Canons of Dort, the Belgic Confession. Why do we have these then? I just need me and my Bible, right? Because nobody can understand the Bible from one end to the other without summarizing it somewhat. Every time we look at a Bible and we say, well, this is what it says, that's a summary. And we have summaries that have been examined by Holy Spirit-led people for centuries that say, yes, this is what the Word of God says. So, yes, we need to examine these in light of Scripture. But when we examine them, they carry some weight, because there's an awful lot of Christians that have gone before us and said, yeah, that's accurate. And yet, they need, first of all, to bow before the Word of God, certainly. And so we accept them as representations of Bible doctrine, but they're secondary, so that we can look to the Word of God and have a summary on which to hang the passages that we read in the Word of God. If they're wrong, they must be changed. But as I said, we trust them because so many wise and Spirit-filled men have looked at them and approved them as correct summaries of God's Word over history. And so in the creeds, so when pastors and elders meet as we think about Synod meeting coming up this week. And so when we gather together as God's people, we trust that God is leading us by His Holy Spirit. We trust the decisions not because the men or women, but because God is by His Holy Spirit directing us. So the Holy Spirit comes to guide His people into truth, the truth of Christ. The Holy Spirit comes as a helper, the Spirit of truth who speaks no lies and will not contradict Himself. And now we look at verse 14 and we see that He will glorify Me, for He will take of what is Mine and declare it to you. He will glorify the Son. What is the message of the Holy Spirit? And as I said when we were singing that hymn, we don't sing a lot about the Holy Spirit in our churches. Why? Because the Holy Spirit doesn't spend its time saying, "Look at me." It points to Christ. The Holy Spirit focuses on Christ. In fact, the whole area that we talk about in theology of pneumatology, of study of the Holy Spirit, is the application of what Christ has done in saving sinners. The Holy Spirit applies Christ's sacrifice, Christ's perfect life, to sinners to save us. Now, what we know of the Holy Spirit is mainly from what Jesus teaches us. The Gospels contain as much teaching about the Holy Spirit as in the four books of the Gospels as the rest of the Bible. And now this is not a failure. We might want to know more. But it's a picture for us of how the Holy Spirit works. The message is not the Holy Spirit. The message is Christ and Him crucified for our salvation. And as we said, some churches spend a lot of time pointing to the Holy Spirit and sadly saying things that are not biblical about Him. And some churches don't even mention Him. And we need to look to be biblical on this. And I'm sorry to say that I think sometimes we forget about Him because He's not pointing to Himself. And so He points to Christ. We see Him continuing Christ's teaching here on earth. We looked at John 15:26, "When the Spirit Helper comes, whom I shall send to you from the Father, the Spirit who proceeds from the Father, He will testify of Me." He will testify of Christ. The Spirit is the Spirit of truth. We looked at that. We read in John 18:37, as Jesus speaks to Pilate about Himself, "You say rightly, I am the King. For this cause I was born, and for this cause I have come into the world, that I should bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth hears My voice." Jesus was born that He should bear witness to the truth. We read in verse 13, "When the Spirit of truth has come, He will guide you into all truth." Verse 12 tells us that we just read, Jesus still had many other things to say to you, but you can't bear them now. There is an exactness between what Jesus taught and what the Holy Spirit teaches. The Spirit continues Jesus' teaching ministry by guiding us into all truth. Now, this shouldn't surprise us. Both Jesus and the Holy Spirit are true God. They are not divided in purpose. We see the Holy Spirit continuing that teaching of Jesus in many ways completed in the Bible. Notice what the beginning words of the book of Acts are. All of the things which Jesus continued to do and to teach through His church by the work of the Holy Spirit. And so the Holy Spirit is continuing the work of Jesus' teaching. In fact, things that the disciples couldn't bear right now, we have that worked out, continued in the witness of Scripture throughout the New Testament. Verse 14 tells us that He will take of what is Mine and declare it to you. The word there, declare, is the word that we use for preach. And this is an important endorsement of preaching by God. The Holy Spirit, in guiding John to use this word here, reminds us that when the word is preached to us from the pulpit, It is declared through the preacher by the Holy Spirit. This means that preaching is much more than just cunningly devised fables or sneakily written fiction. It is the preaching of the Bible. It is God preaching to us. Now, preachers are human. We make mistakes. But that is why we must search the Scriptures. And that's why we have to be careful that we examine against Scriptures what is preached to us. That we don't have just our own meandering thoughts. We have the Word of God. And so the Spirit points to the Son. He glorifies the Son. He's quiet about Himself. He focuses on Christ as our Savior. And He continues Jesus' teaching after Jesus had ascended. And He takes what is Christ's and preaches it to us. And now we turn in our third point to look at the fact that He reveals all of God. The Holy Spirit reveals much more than Jesus. That's what our text tells us. We turn our third point to see that the Spirit reveals all of God. All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore, I said that He will take of mine and declare it to you. We have not just Jesus revealed to us. We have all three persons of the Trinity revealed to us by the Holy Spirit. We have the equality between God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. God tells us that the Holy Spirit has access to all of God, and He teaches us from that storehouse. Whatever He hears, we read in verse 13, He will speak and He will tell you things to come. And that word whatever is very much of a comfort to you and I. As God, all that belongs to God is the Holy Spirit's. Whatever the Holy Spirit hears, He will declare to us. All that God has for us, God will declare to us by the Holy Spirit. The question answer 31 of the Catechism tells us that Jesus, as our prophet, has fully revealed to us the secret counsel and will of God concerning our redemption. And this we know, that the Holy Spirit continues Jesus' work to reveal to us this day all that is in the Bible. We don't have to worry whether we have everything necessary for our salvation in Scripture. It has been given to us by the Holy Spirit. God in Jesus, in the Holy Spirit, has revealed to us all that is necessary for our redemption. We don't have to look to other books to add to the Bible. People talk about that. Well, what about, you know, this book or that book that is ancient, but not biblical? Would God only give us part of the Bible for many hundreds of years? No, the Spirit, as God, declares to us the whole will of God. He has done for us this in Scripture. He continues to declare it to us through the preaching of the Scriptures. Beyond that, we need to know for our salvation is given to us by the Holy Spirit. He reveals to us things that are coming as well. God has directly done this in the prophecy of the New Testament. We look at the book of Revelation, but also through Jesus' own teaching concerning trials and troubles that await us as Christians. We need to realize, Jesus didn't tell us that this was going to be a rose garden. He told us that it was going to be hard. Through many trials, we must enter eternal life. The Bible doesn't say, hey, you believe in Jesus, it's all going to become a straight and easy road. But He told us that where we're going is so much and far beyond anything we can imagine on this earth that it's not worthy to be compared. We live in a culture of the here and now. Our brothers and sisters, the Holy Spirit teaches us concerning what God has given to us eternally. We're so worried about what we have in our back pockets and what kind of life we can have here. And God teaches us about things far more important. You think about that. We go in, perhaps, and have surgery. Why do we do that? Because it feels so good at the time? No. In fact, it can be harder afterwards, can't it? But guess what? What does the doctor promise us at the other end of it? Hey, it's going to be better. We think so. 50% chance, right? Oftentimes, that's how they go into it. Well, brothers and sisters, as Christians, God says, hey, this isn't going to be easy. This is a time of testing. But guess what? It's not a 50% chance. There's a 100% chance. We believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. All of this time, the worst troubles and trials on this earth, God tells us what the future holds. God tells us that He gives to us eternal glory. This is revealed to us by His Holy Spirit working in us, showing us, using the Word of God, using His revelation to tell us where we're coming from and where we're going. And brothers and sisters, the Holy Spirit is there to reveal to us Christ, to show us who Christ is. As I said, we live in a world that spends its time saying, well, we need either to worry all about the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit is the only person of the Trinity which matters, because He's the one who does all of these amazing things. My brothers and sisters, that's not what the Holy Spirit is there for. What does Jesus say the Holy Spirit is there for? Those things that we talk about, that churches talk about as Pentecostal gifts, were there to point and say, this is the true teaching of the Word of God. Now, we don't need that anymore. We got this big thing here. Like I said, I'm so excited we as a congregation are taking the time to read it together. Because we need to read this thing. We need to know what God says. And the Spirit takes of this and applies it to your and my life and gives us certainty of eternal life. Not because we're so good. Not because we're worthy. But because of the grace of God in Jesus Christ. And so, brothers and sisters, we don't need people spend their time worrying about, you know, the second gift of the Holy Spirit or miracles of tongues. And I've been in those churches. I spent time in them when I was young because I was concerned as a Christian. I wondered, well, why don't we talk about the Holy Spirit as Reformed Christians? And brothers and sisters, the things that go on in there contradict Scripture. And we need, as Christians, to go back to the Word of God. And we need to say, what does God say? And I can tell you about speaking in tongues and stuff like that. Don't worry about it. Look for what God says. By the way, tongues, what happened at Acts chapter 2, Pentecost? They were regular languages. What did the people say? Well, they heard them speaking a bunch of gibbery, gobbledygook. Everyone heard what? In their own language in which they had been born. What are tongues? First of all, they've ceased. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 14. But what were tongues? They were the immediate ability to speak a language. Not an angel language. Notice what Paul says about that in 1 Corinthians. If there's someone speaking in a tongue, he's got to be interpreted. Anyway, I've gotten far deeper into that than I wanted to. But brothers and sisters, what do we look for in the Holy Spirit? What do we celebrate on Pentecost Sunday? This is an amazing thing. What Jesus promises here. That we are the temples of the Holy Spirit who dwells within us. That's 1 Corinthians chapter 6. And He guides us into all truth. We can rely on the Holy Spirit as we seek to read God's Word to tell us what is important. To interpret it for us. Because if we did it on our own, and people do that, and they come into all sorts of foolishness. You listen to an unbelieving college professor try to interpret the Bible without the working of the Holy Spirit in them. They're just off in la-la land. But brothers and sisters, we have the Holy Spirit working in us, guiding us into all truth, revealing Christ to us. Pointing to Christ. As we said, sometimes we forget about the Spirit because He doesn't point at Himself. The other side is, too often, we replace Christ with the usage of the elements of the sacraments. Well, the Holy Spirit works using the sacraments. That's how I get grace. No, the Holy Spirit works that. And He uses, yes, the elements to confirm, but they are there for confirmation. They are not there to save us. And so, brothers and sisters, we need to have an understanding of what the Holy Spirit is doing. And it is just an awesome thing that the Spirit of God dwells within this miserable sinner and all true believers. And He works in us. He reveals Christ to us. How does He reveal Him? Word of God. If I ain't reading the Bible, the Holy Spirit can't reveal stuff to me. I have to understand that. He uses the Bible. He takes of the things of God and reveals them to us, applies them to us. He does not speak on His authority. He speaks whatever He hears. And He will glorify Christ and the Father. Amen. Let us then bow our heads and our hearts before Almighty God in prayer. And we'll close this prayer together with the Lord's Prayer. Shall we pray? Almighty and most gracious Heavenly Father, we thank You for the work of the Holy Spirit, applying the salvation which Christ has accomplished in full. We praise You that He said on the cross, "It is finished." And we thank You for the continued presence of the Holy Spirit in us, so that it was not bad for us that Christ went into heaven and ascended into heaven, but that it is a good and a joyous thing. Jesus told us that it is better if He goes away from us. And we thank You, Lord Jesus, that You have sent Your Holy Spirit to work in our hearts. And we pray, Lord, that You would use Your Scriptures to that end within our hearts, that You would build us up in the truth. We pray, Lord, that we would truly glorify our Savior, Your Son, by the Holy Spirit working in us. That we would glorify the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, in all of our lives, in all that we say and do and think. And we pray, Lord, that You would work in us by Your Holy Spirit. That You would give us a trust in You all of the more. For we pray these things through Jesus Christ, praying as He taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.